6 o'clock, we are going to start the Gemara on Yudalad Amud Aleph, and we are going to start again from 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13th line from the top. I'm sorry, take that back, 15th line from the top. The Gemara has just brought in Machlokes, Rav and Shmuel, Rish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan. Did Beit Shammai continue doing their opinion? We spoke out of Machlokes, Tosfos and the Ritva, that according to Tosfos, did they continue doing their opinion or not? If they didn't, Tosfos learns, they deferred totally to Beis Hillel, both Lekula and Lechumra. The Ritva learns, they only deferred to Beis Hillel that they wouldn't do any Kulas, but they kept their Chumras. They kept their Chumras, even if you learn that Beis Shammai deferred, they only deferred no Kulas, but they kept their Chumras. Tosfos learns they kept Kulas and Chumras, they gave deferred on everything. We decided that we were going to learn like Tosfos because it makes the Gemara easier to understand as we go along. So from now, I'm just going to stick to Tosfos' Shita, that if you learn Beis Shammai deferred, they totally deferred. So it's a machlokes. Did they or didn't they? The Gemara gave us two possibilities. Either this argument is only before the Basco, that one man the Amar says Beis Shammai understood Achirab and Lahatos, and therefore deferred, and the other man the Amar said they felt it didn't apply to them, because they were chamechudidi tvei, they were sharper, right? But then when the Basco came out, then they accepted Beis Hillel's psak. That's one way of learning. The other way of learning is that the machlokes. I'm sorry? Hello? Yeah, you can't hear me? You couldn't hear me till now?
No, I'm muted.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was muted?
Yeah, or you hear me?
What? I'm sorry, can you hear me?
Now we can hear you. You were muted.
Oh, okay, so I'm going to start again. We're going to start from the 15th line from the top. And, Daf Yudalad Amud Aleph, I'm sorry, it was my mistake. The 15th line from the top Yudalad Amud Aleph. And what we're discussing now is the Machlokes Amaroim in whether Beis Shammai kept on doing their halacha or not. And in that Machlokes, there's two opinions. One opinion is that the Machlokes is prior to the Basco, where one man the Amar, namely Rabbi Yochanan, and Rav, held loyasu, meaning they deferred because it was a majority against them, and we're going to stick to Tysus's chat that deferred means totally deferred. They did Beis Hillel's opinion, both Lekula and Lechumra. They totally gave to Beis Hillel, and Shmuel and Rish Lakish hold that they kept on doing their thing because they felt that they were sharper, and therefore they're not included in Achirab and Lahatois until the Basco came out. That's one way of understanding it. And the other way of understanding it was after the Basco, that Rav and Rabbi Yochanan says they accepted the Basco's directive of Achirab and Lahatos, even though they're sharper. And Shmuel and Rish Lakish hold that they, Eimashgichim beBasco, they ignored the Basco, because Loi Bashamayim he, we don't accept Tyre Bashamayim. We spoke out Tysus, that even though we paskin like the Basco Beis Hillel, that doesn't mean we don't say Loi Bashamayim he, because it wasn't a psak in Shemayim like Beis Hillel. We wouldn't accept that. It was a explanation of Achirabim Lahatois. And that we do accept. That is what, Rishayim speak out. So this is where we're up to. Frek the Gemara, 15th line from the top. We did part of this yesterday. We're going to start again today. Uman Damar Asu. According to Rish Lakish and Shmuel, who said Beis Shammai kept on doing what they were doing, either before or after the Basco. Karet Kareinan Kareit, Kaleisis Gaidadu. What happened to Kaleisis Gaidadu, Leisasu Agudas Agudas? They were in groups. They were splitting Klal Yisrael. So how could they continue doing what they were doing? So Dr. Gemara Amar Abaye, Ki Amin Lois is going to do, Gashtei Bat Edin and Birachas. It's only true in one city. Halolu Meirin Kedir Rebbe Shammai, Halolu Meirin Kedir Rebbe Sil. So there you have both the Svara of Rashi, that it looks like two Tyrus, where in the same city people were doing different things. Or the machlokes of the pshat of the Rambam that it causes argument. Avo shtei bat adin and b'shtei ayaris, but in two separate cities, Leslamba. In two separate cities, it doesn't bother us. It doesn't look like two tyrants because we look at each city separately. Also, it won't cause machlokes. That is the answer Abaya gives. Amalei Rava, but b'shamei b'silu k'shtei bat adin and b'irachas dami. But Beit Shammai and Beis Hillel were located in the same city. That is the way it seems they explain it. Meaning, they were both in the same city, in Yerushalayim, right? Beit Shammai and Beis Hillel were both located in the same city, I believe in Yerushalayim, and still, they, according to Shmuel and Rabbi Yechanan, they followed their opinion, in the same city, right? Now, how Abaye answers this, we'll see in a second, but let's first do Rava's answer. Elam Rava Kiyamin Lois is going to do Gambezim Birachas Plag Moirin Kadivri Bishamai or Plag Moirin Kadivri Bishil. When is their Lois is going to do? When in the same Bezim there are different opinions and no one defers to the other. Avoshtei Batidina Birachas, but if it's two separate Bezims, less Lamba. Meaning we're willing to tolerate that every Bezim has their own opinion and in their Bezim and in their following they do it that way and we're willing to tolerate that even though in the same city, it ends up you have two different ways of doing things. The problem of Lois is going to do is when you're in one location, in one bezin, in one part of the community, same part of the community, with different people doing different things. And Beit Shammai and Beis Hillel had their own bezins, and therefore Beit Shammai was able to paskin their way, and Beis Hillel was able to paskin their way, and according to Shmuel and Rish Lakish, continued doing what they were doing, and according to Rav and Reb Yechanan, they did not. Rashi? No Rashi. How does Abaye answer Rav's question? So, the Mefarshim explained that Abaye felt that Beit Shammai and Beis Hillel were all over Klal Yisrael, and everybody knew that they had two different approaches to learning, and therefore, it did not create the Machloikas, or the Shtei, it was like an accepted fact. It became like two cities. Even when they're the same city, people viewed them as two different cities, they understood. Beit Shammai has one way of learning, Beis Hillel has another way of learning, it was an accepted, it wasn't like, oh, they're arguing? No, it was self-understood that they learned completely differently, and therefore, even though they were in one city, Abaye said they were viewed as two cities. Rava's question was, it's still the same city, and his answer was, even in the same city, two bezins would not be Lois's guide to do. That is the answer to the Gemara to Purim, because Purim was two different cities, and since Purim was two different cities, there's no problem of Lois's guide to do. Talk to Gemara Vayter.
Rebbe?
Yes.
Rebbe?
I'm listening.
Did you hear that call a couple of ago?
Mishnah, correct. That means when Rebbe organized Mishnayos, when Halacha became firmly like Beis Hillel, we didn't even treat Beit Shammai as a dissenting opinion because it was clear that we paskin like Beis Hillel. It wasn't an opinion to be reckoned with. That's all it meant. It had nothing to do with whether the Shammai kept on doing what they were doing or not. It means in the teaching of Mishnayos, the Shammai is not viewed as an opinion to do like because it was Eina Mishnah, it was accepted that the Halacha was like Beis Hillel. Now that doesn't mean Beit Shammai themselves didn't continue, right? It just means that as far as we're concerned, it's Eina Mishnah. Correct. So I'm thinking about Vayter. Tashima. This is a Gemara, a Mishnah. It might be a Mishnah. It's in today's daf. I didn't prepare it yet, but it's in today's daf. But Eliezer's opinion is that for Bris Milah, not only are you allowed to do the Bris on Shabbos, but anything that you need for the Bris is allowed to be done on Shabbos, even things that you could have done on Friday. So in Rabbi Eliezer's opinion is, if you want, you can cut down a tree and make charcoal and melt metal to make a Mila knife on Shabbos. Now all that could have been done on Thursday and Friday, but you're still allowed to do it on Shabbos. Whereas Rabbanan argue with him and say, no, only things that it's impossible to do before Shabbos can be done on Shabbos for Mila. Any malacha that could have been prepared beforehand should have been prepared beforehand and is not Daichu Shabbos. That's the Machloikas Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbanan. And the Mishnah says, I think it's a Mishnah, Bimkaimish Rabbi Eliezer, in Rabbi Eliezer said, in Rabbi Eliezer's place, Hayakarsin Eitzim Lasses Pchamim B'Shabbos Lasses Barzo. They used to do like Rabbi Eliezer. On Shabbos, used to cut down trees, make charcoal to make metal, to make a metal Mila knife. It's a different machloikas. There's a machloikas tanoim, whether the isur basar b'cholov extends to birds or only to animals. Right? Now, there's a machloikas, we paskin, that it's not biblical, but it's rabbinically prohibited. Rabbi Yitzhak Lili said there's no such prohibition, and in his city, they ate chicken and milk. They had no problem eating chicken and milk, even if they were cooked together. There was no isser abasar b'cholov by bird meat, by pigeons, doves, chickens, none of that. Now, they acted that way, even though the Rabbanan argued. Bimkaimai Shor Eliezer in, they only acted this way in the city of Reb Eliezer. Bimkaimai Shor Bekiva, who argues why? The Tanya. Klal Omer Reb Akiva. Kol Melacha Shepsel Asoyz Nemerim Shabbos. Any Melacha that's possible to do on Friday. Ein Netaychez HaShabbos. So you see that we acted differently. We see that we did Agudais Agudais. In Reb Eliezer's city they did one way. And in Reb Akiva's city they did the other way. Fact the Gemara, the high might chifta. What kind of question is this? Didn't we say Mekaimus Shiny? What kind of question is this? We said in two different cities it doesn't bother us. All it says there is in Rabbi Yezah's city they did one way, and in Rabbi Kiva's city they did another way. It doesn't say anything in the same place. So why in the world are you asking this question? Fact the Gemara, the Karla, my Karla. So why did it? Why was this question asked? The answer is obvious. And for the Gemara, Salgadai Tachamina, Mishum Chumra de Shabbos, Kamokam Echadami. I would think that Shabbos, the severity of Shabbos, would make it that even in different locations, we should be more machmer. True, in other halachas, we differentiate with an argument in one city or two cities, but Shabbos, Hilchas Shabbos, we should be more strict. And therefore, if you're not strict in Hilchas Shabbos, that means the Zaitz's guide to do is not an issue. And the answer is, no. Gamash Malon, that even in Shabbos, two cities is two cities. So the Havamin of asking the question was because we thought that when it comes to Shabbos, we would treat Shabbos like automatically like two different cities. Rashi. Hayakarsim, all the way atop, second line from the top. Hayakarsim, Eitzim, B'Shabbos, Lasses, B'Chamim, L'Boy, B'Yoyim for that day. They Lasses, Barzel, to make metal. Ismo Shamila, a knife of Mila, the Ksavar of Eliezer, Machshirei Mitzvah Daichin Shabbos K'mitzvah Atzma, that the preparation of the mitzvah is Daichin Shabbos like the mitzvah itself. Basar Oiv B'Cholov, Shayidarish B'Chalev Imai, Pasuk says, do not cook meat in the milk of its mother. Mish Yesh L'Chalev Imai, it refers to creatures that have mother's milk, meaning animals. Yatzav Basar Oiv, She'en L'Chalev Eim, birds do not produce milk, and therefore it's not included in the Isser. V'achamina beperikol abasser. Klal amar Reb Akiva legabi mila by mila beisser Shabbos. My karila hakvashanu leil kiamina leisis gaidedu. Didn't we say that leisis gaidedu only is in one city? And the answer is we thought Shabbos' severity would make things different. That's why the Gemara. That's why we asked the question. And the answer is no, it doesn't. Two cities remain two cities. Yes.
Rabbi?
Yes.
Is this discussion the get up today? I mean, these are such crucial life cycle issues, lifestyle issues, marriage, kashrus, keeping Shabbos. Do we act essentially on these particular issues uniformly now because of what he's got to do, or is it just some completely other reason?
Well, the truth is, it applies today also, but we wouldn't consider it in such a severe way. I'll show you examples of where we would apply this. I'll pick a few examples. There's a machlokes, the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah, about meat. We have such a thing called glatt, that it has no, nothing on the lung that's any question at all. We paskin, the Ashkenazim paskin, that as long as it's removable, you know, things are checkoutable, I don't want to get involved in the details, we are more lenient. And the Sfardim are very strict, right? It's a fact that some Sfardim will not eat Ashkenazi meat, because they are machmer like the Shulchan Aruch who paskins differently than the Svaradim will eat rice on Pesach and beans on Pesach, and Ashkenazim won't. Some people keep 72 minutes at the end of Shabbos. Some people do not. There's many, many things that we do, but it's been accepted that there are differences that we do because there are different communities. So therefore, we don't view it as less as going to do anymore because America is a melting pot. So once upon a time, the Sephardim lived in Sephardi communities and the Ashkenazim lived in Ashkenazi communities. And basically each community stuck to its own thing. And then when we came to America, which became a melting pot, we have all different kinds of things going on, and we don't say it's less as going to do because it came from different communities. So there's a greater tolerance level for it. I expect, yesterday I mentioned that some shuls will not let people in the same minyan have some wear tefillin and some not wear tefillin, because the less is going to do. Other shuls say that since today it's so commonplace to have different people do different things, that it doesn't go into less is going to do anymore. So there are issues that come up in kashrus, in Shabbos, in other halachas, that there are different ways of doing things, except in America, since it's a melting pot, it's basically been more accepted that it's not lois is going to do because it came from different communities.
It just seems to me that the examples that you pointed out are just relatively minor compared to what we're dealing with here. Whether you can chop down a tree and create a fire in furtherance of a bris, whether you can actually eat chicken with milk, et cetera, et cetera. Who you can choose to marry or do chalitza or whatever with is just so much more significant than glot. And you're going to tell me that these details are the essence of everything, but it just seems to me these are things that would be jarring if we saw such differences today.
I agree with you that the degree of difference is much less today. I will agree to that. And that's because Klal Yisrael has a way of consensus in halacha, that over years, consensuses form. Especially in those machlokes, and it was paskened way back. And therefore, by the time it got to the Shulchan Aruch, it wasn't a question anymore. It was a question in the days of Tanoim, and now it's not a question anymore. But we have differences. There are different opinions about things that might sound minor, but could be major shilas. It could be major.
It's just an observation. It's astonishing to me that at that stage, they were still arguing about chicken versus cow and milk. To me, it's astonishing. It's a daily significant thing, given the limitations of what anybody could eat.
It was that way in those days. I just want to point out that I don't think anybody says that chicken is biblical. It's an argument whether is there a rabbinic prohibition on it. So in a scale of 1 to 10, it looks major, but it's really it's not a biblical argument. The one with making a fire on Shabbos is a biblical argument. We're talking about making a fire and cutting down a tree. I mean, we're talking about derisus. It happens to be the Basarai B'cholam is a more minor. It looks like big because it's a lifestyle, but it's really much more minor in the sense that it's rabbinic, not biblical.
It would be just jarring when you're going to marry someone, whether they eat, they follow the Shammai when it comes to that.
And when we marry Sephardim and they eat rice and beans on Pesach?
I know, but Pesach is one week a year.
That's true. Tashma. You know, there's still, again, you call these minor. Do you know the Sephardim duchen every day? They do duchening every single day of the year? And twice on Shabbos?
I know, but they're duchening is so fast, you
almost don't know. Okay, that could be true, but you know, there's differences that we still do have. Tashma. Now, this next Gemara is a little bit difficult to understand exactly what the Gemara meant to compare, because it really is not even talking about two cities. Again, I'm not 100% sure after looking it up, and everybody talks about it, but I myself didn't get a clear picture of it, but let's do the Gemara. Tashma. There's a machlokes whether a candelabra is muktzah on Shabbos after the candle goes out. Meaning you had a fire, it went out, burnt out. The question is, does the candelabra remain muktzah for the rest of Shabbos or not? It's a machloikas, Reb Yehuda and Reb Shimon, Tanoim. Reb Yehuda says it is prohibited. Reb Shimon says it is okay. Reb Yechanan paskins like Reb Yehuda, and Reb Yeshua ben Levi paskins like Reb Shimon. Again, we would paskin its usher, because we paskin whatever is muktzah at the beginning of Shabbos remains muktzah for the whole Shabbos, like Reb Yehuda. But Reb Shimon disagrees with that. So there's a machloikas. So Reb Avo, tiikla asa Reb Yeshua ben Levi am metal to shraga. When he came to the city of Rabbi Shua ben Levi, who held it was permissible to move it, he used to move it. But when he was in the city of Rabbi Yechanan, who felt it is prohibited, lo yad metal tu shraga. So then he did not change. He did not move the candelabra. So the question is that he didn't even move it. Taisa speaks out. Even if the candelabra would fall on his clothing, he wouldn't pick it up. He would shake it off, but he wouldn't pick it up. Meaning, it wasn't that, you know, sometimes when you don't move something, people don't recognize that you don't move it. You just didn't have a chance to move it. Why should you move it? You don't move everything every Shabbos. But in Rabbi Yechanan's city, it was apparent that he wasn't moving it. And in Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi's city, he did move it. And our question is, why isn't that loisis going to do that in one city they moved it and in one city they didn't move it? Right. Didn't we say different cities can do different things? Rabbi Yechanan city did like Rabbi Yechanan, Rabbi Shulman Levi city did like Rabbi Shulman Levi. So the Gemara non hoki coming on. Our question is not about the cities. We know that. Our question is, Rabbi Vo, hechi avid hachi, ve'evi hachi avid hachi. How could Rabbi Vo do different ways? If it's usher, he shouldn't do it. And if it's mutter, why couldn't he do it in different cities? Now, this is a problem the Rishayim had. What has that got to do with what he's going to do? It's a question that has nothing to do with the sugya. Why did Rabbi Vo do one way one place and one way the other place, right? So this is a question. So some Rishonim learned that the Gemara originally was asking from the two cities, and that the Gemara rejected and said, we already answered that question. So the Gemara says, oh, by the way, we have a different question. How could Rabbi Vo do both ways? And for the Gemara, Rabbi Vo could be Shua ben Levi Sferle. Rabbi Vo, in essence, held like Rabbi Shua ben Levi, that it's permissible. The Vechimikla, the Ox, is Rabbi Yechanan, Lavin Metaltum Shem Kvaded Rabbi Yechanan. But in Rabbi Yechanan's city, he was not going to do against Rabbi Yechanan. In Rabbi Yechanan's city, he does like the Rav of the city. The Rav of the city says it's Usher, he wasn't going to do against that. Frak the Gemara of Eke Shemaya, his servant, Rabbi Vo's servant, who sees him doing it mutter in Rabbi Shuva Levi's city, what's to keep him from doing it differently in Rabbi Yechanan's city? He doesn't understand necessarily that in Rabbi Yechanan's city you have to defer to Rabbi Yechanan, not because halachically, but because it's the honor of Rabbi Yechanan that in his city you don't do against him. So the Gemara demaydele l'shama. He informed his servant when he came to Rabbi Yechanan's city. He said, over here, we don't do what we think is right. We do what the Rav of the city. We don't go against the Rav of the city. Rashi. Dr. Rashi, betal to shraga, ne'er shed liku by b'shabas v'kava. It was a candle, a cup holder, a candelabra, that they lit on Shabbos and extinguished. The Sabbalah Reb Yeshua Reb Shimon, the Vesle Muktzah. Reb Shimon does not agree that something that's Muktzah at the beginning of Shabbos remains Muktzah for the whole Shabbos. Reb Yechim, the Sabbalah Reb Yehuda, the Isle Muktzah, Filu Shalai Machmas Isser, that holds its Muktzah even though the Isser no longer applies. The candle is out. Still we say the concept in Hebrew that we say, Migidis Katsoy Leben Ashmashis is Katsoy Lekuliyayma. Since it was Muktzah at the beginning of Shabbos, it remains Muktzah for the whole Shabbos. He won't know that in Rabbi Yochanan's city you have to act differently. Since he sees Rabbi Yochanan doing it elsewhere, why should he understand that in Rabbi Yochanan's city you do differently? And the answer is Rabbi Vol will tell him, hello, we're entering Rabbi Yochanan's city, we don't do kulas that Rabbi Yochanan doesn't hold like. He's the rabbi of the city, we don't go blatantly against him in his own city. Zakti Gemarvait, Tashema. Ava Bishelu Aishim Ve'elu Matirim. This was our Mishnah. Even though the Beishamai and Beisil, according to some, these Asir and these were Matir, right? Beishamai were Matir Tsaras, and Beisil Asir it. Loinimru Beishamai Melisa Nashim Beisil, Meloi Beisil Me Beishamai. They did not hold back from marrying each other's families. Right? They did not withhold. Zakti Gemara, Bishleima, Beishamai, Lemisel, Lenimnu, the B'nai Chai, Velavininu. We understand why Beishamai could marry Beisil's families. Worst case scenario, these were Yavama Lushuk, right? Let's see Beishamai's perspective of what happened by Beisil. Beisil said these Tsaris Ervas can go out without Chalitz and Yibum. According to Beishamai, this Tsaris Erva is a Yavama. She has to wait for Chalitza. Beisil did not make Chalitza. This lady got married, had children. Those children are not Mamzerim, right? They're not mamzerim. They are kosher children. They are b'nei chai v'lavin. They were born from according to Beit Shammai, a illegal marriage, but they're not pasul. They're 100% kosher kids. Therefore, Beit Shammai could marry Beis Hillel's girls without having to worry because worst case scenario, they're kosher anyway. Ela Beis Hillel, the Beit Shammai, my lo nimlu. How could Beis Hillel?
Let's start back.
If they didn't keep their halacha, if they deferred, they deferred. And if they deferred, they would all do like Beis Hillel, and therefore, they didn't have, everybody could marry everybody. Beis Hillel could marry into Beis Shammai because Beis Shammai wasn't doing their Tsaris Erva Yibum, and Beis Shammai deferred to Beis Hillel. Eli Amret, also, but if you say that they did keep their thing, that means according to Beis Shammai, they were doing Yibum to Tsaris Erva, so why didn't they withhold from marrying into each other's families? So Bishlam and Beishamai and Beisil leinimnu. I can understand why Beishamai didn't stay away from Beisil. The bnei chai v'lavininu. Worst case scenario, they were children from an illegal, prohibited marriage with a lav. Because according to Beishamai, it was a yavama marrying without chalitza. Ela Beisil mi Beishamai, my leinimnu. But Beisil from Beishamai, why didn't they hold back? B'nei Chai V'Krisus. It's Tsaris Erva, according to Beis Hillel, is a chorus. The kids are Mamzerim Ninu. Right? So how could they marry from Beit Shammai's family? V'chi Teva. If you're going to answer me, Ksavri Beis Hillel, the Eim Mamzer M'chai V'Krisus, that Beis Hillel is of the opinion that even a relationship of chorus does not produce a Mamzer. There is an opinion that way that says it has to be a relationship that's Mises Bezen. Maybe Beis Hillel holds that way. Therefore, the kids are kosher. B'amar Ablazer, Ava b'shenechlugu b'shamei Beis Hillel b'tzaris. Even though b'shamei Beis Hillel argue about tzaris, ma'idim shei mamzer mishisuri yisarev avadish chorus. But they both agree that mamzer only comes from an illegal relationship that's chorus, but not from a lav. But it says clearly that they both agree that mamzer is produced by chorus. So how could Beis Hillel marry into Beit Shammai? Must be Beis Shammai did not keep their halacha. They did not do Yibum for Tsaris Erva. Because if not, how could Beis Hillel trust them? Zakta Gemara, Lailam the Asu, the Maidulu Parshi. Beis Shammai would inform Beis Hillel, don't marry these people. You're right. If they couldn't marry without checking it out. But when it says they didn't hold back, is they trusted each other. Beis Hillel would go to Beis Shammai and say, who can't we marry? And Beit Shammai would tell them who they can't marry. That's what the Mishnah means. But Enochinami, we understood that the Mishnah is saying, bottom line is, don't worry, Beit Shammai didn't do their halacha anyway. They didn't do Yibum to Tzaris Erva. And therefore, Beis Hillel had nothing to worry about. The answer is no. They did do Yibum to Tzaris Erva. And theoretically, Beis Hillel had a lot to worry about. But they didn't worry because Beis Shammai was kind enough to inform Beis Hillel, don't marry these families. And therefore, Beis Hillel could trust Beis Shammai and not worry about Mamzeris. Zok to Rashi, B'nei Chai V'Lavaninu, Hanach de Beis Hillel Shat Tzores Nisus L'Shuk B'loi Chalitza. Because Beis Hillel had the Tzores married to the other people without Chalitza. Even according to Beis Shammai, that says you need chalitza, but belav the alma, you know, it's only a lav l'si'a eishes hames. V'ein mamzer al-machai v'krisis. There's no, the children are not mamzerim, only if there would be a chai v'krisis. K'deminu l'kamam b'acholitz, like we will learn later on in the fourth parak. Chai v'krisis, ninu, given the tzaras habas p'tura, since according to Beis Hillel, Tzaras Habas is absolved from the mitzvah of Yibum. Hamayadma, if one did Yibum, Aymed b'Isser Eishes Ach B'Karas, he would be doing Isser Eishes Ach B'Karas. Aym Mamzer Mechai B'Krisis, El Mechai B'Mises Bezen. The Havamina would be that Mamzer is only from those an illicit relationship that is Mises Bezen. Imai, mother, Chamaisai, mother-in-law, Kalosai, daughter-in-law, Kiyaitzimah. Chalhanach the Isser Achba, all sibling relationships, brother's wife, wife, sister, all those relationships, less b'humisa, there's no misas bezin. The Gemara's answer was the ma'idi lehu, b'shamay lebeisil. The u, shabishpocha zu mitzaris erva, shenisyab ba. She's from this family came from a tzaris erva, who pirshu meisil would stay away from that family. Now, I just want to point out that the Gemara did not entertain that maybe b'shamay would be marrying the tzara, meaning the Gemara says Beis Shammai had nothing to worry about because worst case scenario it was offspring of a Chai V'Lavin. Maybe this is a lav. Maybe this woman was a Tzaras Erva. And the answer is that they would have known automatically. Children, you don't check who their grandmother was. But the lady herself, if she was a Tzaras Erva, Beis Shammai would know because when you marry a woman, don't you want to know what who she was married to before? And what, you know, that you find out in Shidduch information. Who the grandmother was doesn't necessarily come out in Shidduch information. So therefore, that you didn't have to worry about Beis Shammai because it was a lav. But the woman herself, that would have come out in Shidduch information, and that they wouldn't have to worry about. Beis Hillel, when they're marrying Beis Shammai, how could they check out whether the great-grandmother was a Tzaras Erva and the kid would be a Mamzer, straight down the generations? And the answer is, Beis Shammai will tell Beis Hillel, these families are not for you. It's a complicated thing, because this goes on generations. You know, a woman could be a Tzaras Erva, had Yibum, and had six kids. All those six kids to Beis Hillel are Mamzerim, and if each of them have six kids, you have 36 families that are Mamzerim. And Beis Shammai would have to keep track to inform Beis Hillel that these families you have to stay away from. Zog the Gemara v'achinami misabra. It makes sense to say that we were relying on the information that Beis Shammai would pass to Beis Hillel. Right? We wanted to prove from here that Beis Shammai did not do their halacha. They didn't do Yibum by Tzaras Erva. We answered, yes, they did, but they informed Beis Hillel. I can show you in the same braisa of before that it's true. I mean, in the same Mishnah, right? Because the Mishnah continued. In our Mishnah, after it said, Elu Eisrim, Elu Metamun, it started talking about Taras and Tumas. The Tani Sefer, Kala Taras and Kala Tmeyas, Shari Elu Metaran and Elu Metamun. Noinimnu Eisrim Taharais, Elu Agabe Elu. Right? Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel disagreed whether something was Tar or Tame, but they still borrowed from each other. Zok to Rashi, Agabe Elu, Mashilim Kelim Elu Li Elu, U Beis Hillel Machmirim B'Taras Tvei. Beis Hillel used to be Machmir more by Taras. And still, Beis Hillel would borrow Kelim from Beis Shammai. So, I Amet Bishlam Ed Maideluhu, if you tell me, that Beis Shammai would inform them and say, you don't want to borrow this keli, to you this is tamei. Shemachir lo nimnu. So Beis Hillel could knock on Beis Shammai's door and say, can I borrow a bowl? And Beis Shammai would say, don't borrow this bowl. This is not good for you. Go to my next door neighbor, he has a bowl that's good enough for you. Right? Because Beis Shammai would be upfront with Beis Hillel. Eli amet loy maideluhu. If you're telling me that they did not informed them that they couldn't rely on that kind of information. Beshamit could borrow from Beisil, because by and large, Beisil is the stricter one. So Beshamit doesn't have to worry about Beisil's kelim, because Beisil was stricter when it came to Tumatara. Ela Beisil me Beshamai, lomaloi nimnu. How could Beisil borrow from Beshamai? Taharis de Beshamai, the Beisil Tumayas nimnu. Taharis de Beshamai is Tumay to Beisil. So how could they borrow? Ela lav de Maidalu, shmamina. So it must be that you relied on the information. Now, so the Gemara brought a raya again, and the Gemara is going to be bothered by this. We had a question by Tsaras Erva. We wanted to prove from the fact that Beisil could marry into Beis Shammai, that Beis Shammai did not keep their halacha. We answered, yes, they did, but they informed. And we can prove it to you, because by Taras and Tumas, they borrowed from each other. Now, that's not any more raya, because it could be the reason they borrowed from each other is because Beis Shammai didn't keep their kulas, because Beis Shammai deferred to Beisil. It's not a proof, it's a possibility that they informed them. Why is this a better proof than the Tsaris were? Tsaris was the same situation. Two ways to learn it. One is to say Beis Shammai did not do their opinion, and one is to say they did their opinion but informed Beis Hill. So we're proving the second way, because by Tsaris and Tumas they borrowed from each other. If they didn't inform them, how could they borrow from each other? The answer could be because Beis Shammai didn't do what they deferred to Beis Hill. Why is this a better proof than the original one? We had two ways to learn the original one. There's two ways to learn this one. Why is this better? Because the truth is, you could have answered me before that Beis Shammai did not inform Beis Hill. And Beis Shammai did keep their kulas. But everybody knows about a Tsaras Erva. It makes the news. And therefore, Beis Hill could marry Beis Shammai girls because they would know if there's a problem. Not because Beis Shammai informs them, but because it would be, everybody would know about it. It was in the news that this Tsaras Erva had Yibum. And therefore Beis Hill would mark that family as not for us. That would be a third option to learn the halacha of Tsaras. One is Beis Shammai never did it. One is Beis Shammai informed them. And the third one is neither of the above. Beis Shammai did do the heter, and they didn't inform them. But Beis Hill knew about Tsaras because everybody talked about it. It was in the news. The answer we're proving from Tumah and Tahara is that they informed them. Meaning one of the first two options, not the third option. Because Tumah and Tahara is not in the news. There was no way Beis Hill would know which kelim of Beis Shammai is Tumah and which is not. And therefore, it had to be a matter of trust. Or they didn't keep their halachas. But what we're proving is, one of the first two options, there's no third option. The third option would have been by Tzara, that there is a news about it, and therefore Beis Hill doesn't have to worry. And the answer is that wouldn't help you by Tumah and Tahara, because over there it's not in the news. So therefore, we're proving from there that you have to pick one of the two options. Either Beis Shammai didn't do their halacha, they deferred to Beis Hill, and therefore Beis Hill could trust them on Tumah and Tahara, they informed them and they kept them posted. Rashi, my umul dahai mahai, the kamrachanami mistabri the maidalu, mahai. Heche mistabri tvei, why is this any more of a proof? Kala islu vleitzarach leduye, umahasim leitelev the maidi. From there you would not learn out that they informed them. Kamash malon, that you could trust them that they informed them. Now, there is a big shiloh. There is a big shiloh. If somebody comes to your house, and you eat certain kind of meat, and that person wouldn't eat it, right? And that person wouldn't eat it. Are you allowed to give it, serve it to him? You know that the person that's visiting you doesn't eat a certain thing. But you hold it's 100% mutter, right? You hold it's 100% mutter. Can you rely on that? Or not? Now, as we go through the next sugya, we will have proofs to this shayla. Interesting shayla, it's negeya lemaisa. A person eats shchita A, and he knows his friend does not eat shchita A, and his friend is coming to visit him. Can he serve him shchita A without informing him that it's shchita A? We're going to have raias as we go along, so that's why I'm introducing the shaila right now. Sakti Gemara Vayter, Gufa. Amar Rablazer. Rablazer said, Ava Bishenechluku, Beit Shammai Beisil B'Tzaris, even though Beit Shammai Beisil had an argument whether Yibum applies to Tzaris, Moedim Sheimamzel Mishimstur Mishish Yisur Isser Erva, Vanishkaris. They're both of the opinion that for a child to be a mamzer, it has to be an illicit relationship that reaches the level of Karis. Mamvaidim. Who agrees to whom? Meaning when we say that they agree, maidim, they admit, they agree. Who is, usually when we use the word maidim, means A agrees to B, or B agrees to A. Right? So what does that mean? Yes.
Rabbi,
I'm listening.
I'm missing something here. Meaning, well, what are we stressing the children for? According to Beis Hillel, the Tzaras Erva is Kares, right?
Correct.
So that's what we should be stressing. I mean, how can you be Modeh if that's what the Einish would be?
Again, Einish is the Rabbi Nishlam's business. Beis Shammai felt that the woman is fine. She did a mitzvah. She gets brownie points upstairs. Again, I'm losing you. The question here now is, right, the question is, again, I don't understand your question.
Is it working both ways or just one way? Isn't Beis Hillel also being motivated to Beis Shammai?
Again, I'll tell you what, let me do the next three lines, four lines, and if you have a question, I'll answer it. I'm not understanding your question.
Before this new Gemara that Rebbe just started.
Yes.
Wasn't it working both ways? I'm agreeing with you, so, I mean, you're
right. No, Beis Hillel is not agreeing to Beis Shammai at all. Amr Ablazer. Ava Bishenechluku Beshame Besil Batsaris. Maidim Shay Mamzer Mamishi Sura Is Erva. Vanishkaris. Even though they argue, they agree that the offspring are not Mamzerim. That's how the Gemara understands this line. They're arguing about the Tzara, but they agree about the offspring. That's what the Gemara seems to say. Even though they're arguing whether there's a mitzvah Sibum by the Tzara, but they agree that the offspring is not mamzerim. Now, frek the Gemara. Mam maidim. Who agrees? Ilei me Beis Shammai le Beis Hillel. Is Beis Shammai saying that if the Tzara doesn't do Yibum, and she gets married to somebody else, the offspring is not mamzerim? Pshita. It's obvious. B'nei chai v'lavim sherim ninu. It's only an offspring of a lav. I don't have to say that. Self-understood that if the lady does like Beis Hillel and doesn't get chalitza or yibum and gets married to somebody else, her children will not be mamzerim. It's only lavin. Ela Beis Hillel le Beis Shammai. You want to say that Beis Hillel agrees to Beis Shammai that a woman that does like Beis Shammai, the offspring is not mamzerim? He go for chai b'krisis. This is chai b'krisis. What do you mean Beis Hillel agrees? It's chai b'krisis. This is a mamzer according to Beis Hillel. Dr. Gemara La'ilam Beis Shammai LeBeis Hillel. Beis Shammai is saying to Beis Hillel, we agree that a lady that does like you, the offspring is not a mamzer. It's obvious, it's only a lav. La'fuke midor b'kiva. La'mer yesh mamzer mechai v'lavim. Kamash malon de'e mamzer mechai v'lavim. What Rabbi Lazar is saying is that even though there's an opinion, namely of Rabbi Kiva, that says that any lav produces mamzerim, so according to Rabbi Kiva, if a woman would do like Beis Hillel, according to Beis Shammai, the offspring would be mamzerim. So Rabbi Lazar is saying, no, that Beis Shammai agrees to Beis Hillel, that a woman that does like Beis Hillel, the offspring is not mamzerim. They don't agree to Rabbi Kiva. And therefore, it's only a one-way problem. the woman that does like Beis Shammai, the offspring is Mamzerim according to Beis Hillel. But a woman who does like Beis Hillel, the offspring will not be Mamzerim according to Beis Shammai, because it's only a love. Rashi, Hachi Gesin Amshita, the third line from the top, B'nei Chai V'Lavim K'sherim Ninu. But Rebbe Kiva, the Kamam B'Perek HaChaylitz, Rebbe Kiva's opinion is later on in HaChaylitz in the fourth Perek. Tashima. Now we're going to have a Brisa. And this Brisa is a very informative Brisa, because the Brisa lists a whole bunch of machloikasim, Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, that are pertain to marriage, to pertain to marriage and divorce, which could, according to one opinion, disqualify a woman that does like the other opinion. And there's going to be multiple arguments, and this is really a collection of arguments that Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel have in marriage and divorce across a bunch of mesechtas. Zok de Braisa. That's our machloikas. First machloikas. Even though they have an argument about tzaras erva, where Beis Shammai allows yibum, requires yibum or chalitza, and Beis Hillel says, not allowed. Rashi, betzaras b'masnisen. That's argument number one. Argument number two is ba'achoyas. Argument number two is ba'achoyas. The case of sisters. Case being, four brothers, two are married to two sisters, and they both died without children. So you have Reuven, Shimon, Levi, and Yehuda. Reuven and Shimon married two sisters, both of them died without children. They are now falling to Yibum, to Levi and Yehuda. Each one of them, if they marry one sister, it's the sister of a woman bound to him, right? Reuven and Shimon's wives are sisters. They're both falling to Levi and Yehuda. Now, Levi, if he does Yibum to one, is marrying the sister of a woman that's bound to him, which is rabbinically prohibited. Right? And Yehuda can't, so what should they do? So therefore, they're supposed to do Chalitza and not Yibum. Biblically speaking, there's nothing wrong in Levi doing Yibum to one and Chalitza to the other. But rabbinically, we don't want that. Because since they're both bound to Levi and both bound to Yehuda, by picking one, you are doing Yibum to a sister of a woman bound to you. And we don't want that rabbinically. What happens if they went ahead and they did Yibum? What happens? They didn't listen to us. Levi was Miyabim one, he violated the rabbinic Isser, and Yehuda was Miyabim the other. What do we do now? So Beis Hillel says, make them to get divorced. They violated the rabbinic Isser, even though, but once they did Yibum, it's no longer bound to him, right? Doesn't make a difference. They violated our law, we make them get divorced. And Beis Shammai says, listen, they weren't supposed to do it. But if they did it, they can stay married to each other. So here you have another machloikis, Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, about what happens to women who fell in Yibum. They were sisters. They were not supposed to receive Yibum. They were supposed to receive Chalitza. And the people involved, the brothers, went ahead, violated the rabbinic law, did Yibum. Beis Shammai says, let them stay married. Beis Hillel says, make them get divorced. So that's another machloikis that exists by Yibum. Bachoyas, Rashi just gives you the address. The Perik Dalet Achen, this is going to be a machloikis in the fourth Perik. Yes.
If Yehuda was the last one to get married, Rosh Hashanah, Levi married one of them, then to Yehuda, the remaining wife from Reuven and Shimon is the only one that's bound to him. In other words, he can no longer marry whoever Shimon married. I mean, whoever Levi married. So she's no longer bound to him. So would that make the remaining sister mutter to him?
Rabbinically not. And the truth is, you're asking a good question. We'll have to wait for the Gemara there. I'm sure it's going to be discussed. I'm sure it's going to be in the third parak when we get there. I don't know the answer offhand. Obviously not. I don't know why not. We'll have to wait till then. You're asking a good question. I'm sure it's dealt with over there. I just didn't proceed. The next halach is beget yashan. Get yashan is a case when a woman the husband wrote a get, right? Didn't give it to his wife. He just wrote it, ready to give it to him one day. And then they lived together. Now, we don't know if they had a relationship. That's a shaila later. The machlokes and masechta is getting whether we do know or we don't know. But the bottom line is, it's theoretically possible that she became pregnant post the writing of the get, which is perfectly okay. She's married to him. He gives her a get later on that's dated 6 months before he actually gave it to her. The child is born, and people are going to look and say, hey, this child was not born during a marriage. It's an out-of-wedlock child because the get 6 months earlier. And it's going to make a loss on the child. And the question is, are we allowed to use a get like that? We will proceed about this tomorrow. Everybody should have a wonderful day.